Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With us today, Daniel McAdams, our co-host. Daniel, good to see you.
Good morning, Dr. Paul. How are you this morning?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
Good.
Ready to go.
More war.
There is a mess going on. There's somebody stirring up trouble. And like I said to you a minute ago, why is there so much energy spent on trying to stir up trouble that seems so unnecessary? And guess what? I hate to have to do this, but it has a lot to do with our government's foreign policy. Yeah. I mean, why do we have to do this? And with so much evidence that so many times we got involved, it doesn't help our national defense. It costs a lot of money, and we make more enemies. And we don't have more security.
Yeah.
But they keep doing it. Of course, we've talked about that before. We think it might have to do with some money. some money, but people making money off this system. But anyway, unfortunately, the American people have gone along with it. And yet, guess what? We're seeing a break in that. Maybe if we're looking at this effort going on today, especially in Gaza, the American people are starting to wake up, as well as Ukraine. You know, there's a segment there that, surprisingly enough, we're disappointed with the progressives, but there's still some that will stand out. But there's a segment of Republicans that figure maybe they'll be conservatives on spending military money. That would be a big help.
Yeah.
But yesterday there was a big deal. Iranian consulate in Damascus flattened in suspected Israeli air raid. I don't even know if they designed it. I don't think it's probably in a category as being very likely. It was, and there wasn't much in denials. But this is a serious thing because you know, a consulate is considered property, and the Iranians aren't going to be very happy with this.
Yeah.
But it's happened before. You know, I was pretty upset a couple years ago in 2020, January. Soleimani was assassinated, and he was a conspirator, and he did move in the interest of the Iranians. But I don't think he was quite the monster they had to paint him as justifying, you know, the assassination. There's a lot of people that are evil monsters that we put up with, that we don't assassinate with, so, and it's that kind of stuff. And now there's this our allies doing this stuff. But if it's our money and our intelligence gathering, we have a moral responsibility. We have a physical responsibility. The Americans have a responsibility to use their money, and they're also endangered because, you know, there was a time when people were pretty upset with us, and on 9/11, you know, there were a lot of Americans killed, and it was domestic. And so they're capable, but if you say that, oh, you guys are really softies. You don't want to stand up for the American people. Well, just maybe that standing up for the American people may involve having a less aggressive foreign policy. And that is what I think I really believe in. And that does not mean you give up any defense of the country. I really believe sincerely that our country is better defended and we're more capable of defending ourselves if we have a non-interventionist, non-aggressive foreign policy. And it doesn't mean for a minute that you don't react to it. But there's promises now that there'll be retaliation, and there's a fair amount of told 11 people were killed, but there was some generals killed to add insult to injury. So in the next few days may tell us what's going to happen, but it'll be one more item that they can check up and have reason why they're not much interested in talking, even though there's been efforts over the years, and there's even people in Washington that would be willing to talk to the Iranians and not make enemies, go out of our way to make enemies with the Russian. But those voices aren't carrying the day. I think Main Street media seems to control so much of what's going on.
Yeah, let's put up that first clip because this is what we're talking about. Israel had a triple whammy yesterday. We'll talk about some other things that happened, but Israeli airstrike hits Iranian consulate building in Damascus. High-level Iranian general reported killed. I think there were a total of three if I'm not mistaken, high-ranking generals that were killed in the strike. I think you mentioned, Dr. Paul, 11 total were killed. So Iran, a few days ago, bombed Damascus and killed, I think, 50-some people, including a lot of civilians. Well, yesterday they crossed what would be generally considered a red line. And this is, of course, in violation of the Vienna Conventions, where, as you pointed out earlier, the diplomatic property is considered the territory of the country. And you don't bomb other people's diplomatic facilities, not because you're a nice guy, but because then yours are also then subject to be targeted. And the world just won't function if people keep bombing other people's embassies. Remember when we bombed the Chinese embassy, when we were attacking Serbia, it was a big deal. It is a big deal. So Israel bombing this has really set off a firestorm in the world, because it was inside Damascus, but inside Syria, but it was also against Syrian, literally Iranian territory. So it looks like a big escalation. And here, I think Dave DeCamp had a tweet out where he makes a pretty good comment. So this is the original tweet. It's now confirmed that Abu Mahdi Zahedi, Iran's top general in Syria and Lebanon, was killed along with other IRGC officers in the Israeli airstrike. Dave DeCamp makes a good comment. He says, Israel is trying to provoke a war with Iran to get the U.S. directly involved. And I think that is a pretty good assessment.
Yeah, it's just a matter of time and what they're doing. It'd be hard to believe because, the Iranians will have hardcore, more militant people and less so, just like in this country. We aren't all in agreement, but the militants are the one that so often drive our policy. But that'll be the way over there. But right now, the more of this stuff that goes on, the more unified the Iranians will be,
yeah.
Even though they've been with discussions with America, and we've made efforts. But those policies, every time they're afraid they'll work, somebody has to come along and undo them because they don't want peace to break out.
Yeah. Well, the other thing that Israel did, which also attracted a firestorm of criticism, put up this next tweet, because this is from Haaretz, the Israeli newspaper. They also struck the World Central Kitchen convoy. This was an aid convoy. It's a private aid charity set up by a famous celebrity chef. They were working trying to feed the starving people in Gaza. The Israelis fired three missiles. An Israeli drone fired three missiles, one after the other, at a World Central Kitchen convoy, escorting an aid truck to a food warehouse in Deir al-Balah, according to defense sources familiar with the details. Go to the next one. I'll just do two of the tweets that Haaretz reported about this. According to defense sources, the cars were clearly marked as belonging to the organization, but the war room of the unit responsible for securing the route identified an armed man on the truck and suspected that he was a terrorist. So they claim to have seen an armed man in a convoy of several aid trucks carrying aid to starving people in Gaza, and they flattened them all. They hit one car, and so the people that survived, they took them to the second car, and then they hit the second car, and the ones that survived, they hit the third car, and then they hit the third car and killed all of them. So they knew what they were doing very, very clearly, and they knocked out. And these were a couple of, one was an American citizen, a British citizen, a citizen from Poland, and a few other countries.
Hey, our foreign policy efforts are always done with pretending we're one step removed from it. We're not part of it. But that's such a farce. They totally rely on us. And no matter how much we suggest, or even when some of their supporters here get a little bit restless, they still go ahead and do it, because they demand that they be supported. And they get supported by weaponry, by information, security information. And that's their whole thing. So we have to be seen, as an ally and a partner and a financial supporter. But But then, the, you know, if you say, well, that's the policy we should have, we should treat Israel like we treat everybody else.
Yeah.
You know, and that is, you don't go in and every border fight everybody has. But we seem to have a bit of a habit, and somebody must think there's benefits, because we certainly are involved in Ukraine as well at the same time. And some people are already looking for, well, what are we going to do about Taiwan? It's just terrible.
Well, let's look at this next clip. This is the aid, one of the aid trucks that was struck by the Israeli missiles. You can clearly see the logo of the charity on top. Breaking, it has now been confirmed that the aid workers targeted by Israel were traveling in a deconflicted zone in two armored vehicles that were branded with the WCK logo, and they had, quote, coordinated their movements with the Israeli military. So they already had cleared all of this with the Israeli military. We have a food convoy that's going through, and it did not stop them from killing everyone in the convoy. And here probably is the ultimate goal. Go to the next one. Because as a result, and we know they're starving there, as a result, according to Cypriot officials, 240 tons of humanitarian aid, including food and water, which was on the way to the Gaza Strip today from Cyprus on a ship that was chartered by the nonprofit organization World Central Kitchen, has turned back due to the announcement that WCK will be ceasing operations in the region. This announcement comes after seven aid workers with the organization were killed yesterday in an IDF airstrike. So the tragedy now is that the food won't be coming at all now.
Boy, I'll tell you, it's just a matter of time on what their strategy will be. But I think that it's pretty well certain that there will be something identifiable when it comes. It will not go unnoticed. And, because there's always going to be pressures back home. And they obviously must have a lot of pressure, you know, back home, of people wanting to have retaliation on both sides. We know here, you know, if we have this this excitement, when are you going to do this, and when are you going to be treasonous and not support more killing? You know, so they couch it in such terms that a lot of pressure. You have that type of political pressure, but then you have the financial pressure of the military-industrial complex, which has a bit of influence.
Yes. Well, the third thing that Israel bombed yesterday was the Al-Shifra Hospital, and they killed a bunch of people in that hospital. So they did a triple strike yesterday. They killed a bunch of people. I've seen some very grisly photos. I will not show them on our show, of course, but really, really awful. What happened at the hospital. So they did three. So this was a briefing by the Pentagon to the media yesterday. And this just shows you, I mean, the world does see how the U.S. is looking at things. Put this next one up. This is from the briefing. So the question from a journalist to Ms. Singh, who is a Pentagon spokesman, the journalist asked, so is it okay now for Israel to destroy hospitals? It's Pentagon spokesman. I'm going to have to refer you to the IDF for their own operations. Question. No, from your perspective, let me put it this way. Is the secretary okay with the Israelis launching operations against hospitals in Gaza? Pentagon spokesman. I think that you can understand that the Israelis have an incredibly hard task in front of them. So not even able to condemn the attack on a hospital, certainly doesn't put the U.S. in a very good light,
Boy,
I think,
that's,
overseas.
That's for sure, because morally and financially, we're as guilty as the ones who dropped the bombs, you know, and does all this. That's real tragic.
Yeah, and as you say, it wouldn't be for us to tell them what they can bomb and can't bomb. It would be for us to not give them bombs.
Yeah, but that we can deal with, except there's not too many people that anxious to do it.
Yeah.
But like I said, and we have said in the last couple months, that the attitudes are changing, and that might be for the good. So let's hope so.
Yeah.
Because if the attitudes don't change, the monstrosities continue.
Yeah.
They are all political people. So if there's enough resistance there, they will finally say something about it. That's why, you know, in spite of the shortcomings of elections, sometimes they'll get a hint.
Yeah.
If people have some surprises. Why don't we just stay at home?
Yeah.
Because the problem on the border is so outrageous. And if you come down on the side of saying, you mean, when they have these press conferences, the administration, they just say, well, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
They're secure, and Trump did all this.
Yeah.
You know, it's all been because he would have had the wrong policy here.
Okay. Well, the thing is, they talk about the national security threats, but I would think that this is an actual national security threat for the U.S. to be so openly identified with such savagery. Makes us so hated in the rest of the world. That really is a threat to our security. You know, to be seen, as you say, as the facilitators of what is objectively a slaughter. But I think, you know, Israel also, they are trying to expand this conflict. I think that's the reason for the Damascus bombing. They're desperate to have the U.S. involved. They're not reaching their goals in Gaza. There's still plenty of Hamas fighters who are fighting back. There are protesters in the streets. The government, you know, may well fall. The war is widening. So I think this is kind of a desperation move in a way to get the U.S. involved, and it may work. But within this whole backdrop of all these horrible things that happened yesterday, if you can skip ahead, I got these in the wrong order, to the U.S. ways selling new fire. This is from Politico, the clip. So in light of all this, U.S. ways selling new fighter jets, missiles, and guidance kits to Israel. And so as we're saying, Dr. Paul, if the rest of the world looks at this, looks at the slaughter of aid workers and hospitals, and then on the next headline it says, we're going to give them more bombs. I mean, how do you think they perceive us?
Some people are reassured, oh, our business is going to remain good.
Yeah.
But it's not good PR for the maybe billions of people watching what we do, because people are also suffering from how we throw our weight around and abuse the responsibility of having a reserve currency of the world.
Yeah.
I mean, we've taken so much advantage of that. So that is the trend, and that's why it's so crucial for us to get as many allies as we can to understand that there's a big difference between what we do in the monetary system and the intervention, and also in our foreign policy.
Yeah.
If we can't convince people that this doesn't work, the practical argument, this is very bad and very dangerous, what you're doing, it doesn't have help security.
Yeah.
So we can't, you know, have a magic wand and change it. But to do nothing would be pretty irresponsible, too, especially if you have a firm grasp of how things should run and should be run by our government.
Yeah, exactly. Well, here's a little bit of details. If you could go back one. I got it in the wrong order this morning. But if we can roll back one, here's more details about the arms shipment. The U.S. government is considering a major new weapons sale to Israel of fighter jets, air-to-air missiles and guidance kits, as calls grow for the U.S. to withhold arms if Israel won't do more to limit civilian casualties in Gaza. And it goes on, this is from Politico, the same article. The Biden administration is weighing selling Israel up to 50 new F-15 fighter jets, 30 AIM-120 advanced medium-range air-to-air missiles, and a number of joint direct attack munition kits, JDAMs, which turn dumb bombs into precise guided weapons, precision guided weapons, according to a congressional aide and person familiar. People who got an anonymity. So it's already been okayed by the top leadership in the U.S. House. The administration asked for it, and it's been okayed by them. So it looks like this will indeed happen. But it's just not a very good look for the U.S., I think.
And they think of all kind of angles how to support our side in Ukraine. And now Ukraine, and they're not doing well in the war against Russia. So, but you know, we participated in robbing Russia of a lot of wealth, years ago when there was taking of the finances of the Russians, and they, you know, our Speaker of the House, he says, well, I know we took it from them, but why don't we use that to help the Palestinians? You know, it's just so crazy.
Yeah, it is absolutely crazy.
That may motivate somebody else to do something.
Yeah. Well, I guess the last thing we want to talk about today is, I would say it's kind of a good news story. We need some good news after this, how we open the show. And this is from Politico as well. Our favorite Senate Majority Leader, if we can put it up. He's not going anywhere, Dr. Paul, believe it or not. McConnell, I'll stay in the Senate and I'll fight the GOP isolationist movement. So he's going to stick around, even though he said he's stepping down as majority leader at the end of the year. He's going to serve out the remaining 2 years of his term in the Senate, and he's going to fight back against those pesky isolationists.
Well, you know, this is the article I think you're talking about, McConnell, yeah. I'll stay in the Senate. But he's treading on dangerous ground. He went after a relative of mine. It happens to be my son. So people say, well, you don't talk about him much, but this is going too far. So I want to bring it out that there's a little paragraph in this article. It says, ask about his divergent view with fellow Kentuckian Republican Senator Rand Paul, who opposes foreign aid. Wow, that's good. And sending more money to Ukraine to fend off Russia. McConnell said they've never agreed on foreign policy, and that now this is where he's misspeaking. Agree on foreign policy, and that Paul would be the first one to say that he is an isolationist. I don't think he uses that word. And yeah. Says, there were libertarians in the past, but that was before the current crop of libertarians.
Yeah.
But it was always a good term, isolation, stay away and stay yeah. out of the problem. But it turned out to me that it was... It meant you shouldn't trade and talk and travel with people. So yeah. I don't like the word isolation. And I just have a feeling that he made that up.
Yeah.
The bigger the problem, McConnell said, is that more of his conference is agreeing. Oh, this is the good part. Yeah. So he's talking about this. And when he says his conference is agreeing with Paul, he's worrying about, other senators coming yeah. around. Yeah. And they're not winning all the votes like they had to. Republicans voted for the foreign aid bill, and it's $60 billion in funding. So the Republican Party is split, even yeah. in the Senate.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think that's good.
Yeah, I think that's great news. And we can actually put up that quote.
I should send McConnell a thank you note. Thank you for bringing his attention to Rand's work.
Exactly. So put that one up if you can, because it is a great quote, so we can have it on the screen to read. I haven't talked to Senator Paul about his foreign policy views. I think his actions speak louder than his words. But I couldn't imagine him saying, well, heck yes, I'm an isolationist. I think he would say similar to what you do. Of course not. I want to trade with the rest of the world. I want U.S. firms to be present around the world. So he's mischaracterizing Senator Paul's foreign policy. And I think he may just genuinely be ignorant of this.
Yeah, but it's the other side that says, criticizing the isolationists.
Yeah.
They support sanctions.
Yeah.
They support tariffs. They love the WTO regulations, mm-hmm. and they talk about NATO, and they say that's what we want. And what are they doing there? They're isolating us from the world.
Yeah.
So we're being isolated more every single day, financially and militarily. And I think that's just double talk. I can't believe that we're going to hear we might hear it, but he won't make any more sense now than he did over the years.
Yeah.
He say he's going to hang around, or he wants to be still out there talking about good policy.
I think he's going to get a real wake-up call, because I think when he's out of that leadership, he's going to realize just how inconsequential he is and how little power he actually does have. But if you could put that up again, because I do want to just again mention this part that I had headlined, and you already read it, Dr. Paul, but it's worth, I think, repeating. So the bigger problem, McConnell added, is that more of his conference is agreeing with Paul's view. Now, that is great, because he's admitting that he's losing this argument. As you said, Dr. Paul, McConnell said roughly half the Senate Republicans voted for the foreign aid bill, and it's 16. So half voted against the $60 billion in funding. Many of his own members are now opting against sending Ukraine money. So McConnell is admitting that he's losing this argument, that there is increasing skepticism about his brand of neoconservatism, of interventionism, and he thinks he's going to stop this tide. We can say that we hope that he's not successful and that Senator Paul is successful.
You know, there's a logical argument. A few people use it, but it's surprising it doesn't carry more weight. Somebody comes up and says, we need $60 billion and we need to send all this stuff to Ukraine and keep the war going. And somebody comes up and says, Well, where are you going to get the money? Where's the money? We don't have any money in the bank. So where are you going to get the money? They never answer the question. Well, we have to rob somebody else, or we have to raise the cost of living by just printing more money.
Yeah.
They never answer that on where it's going to come from. But it never stops. They go from one place to another, and it's always more and more money. It used to be millions of dollars. Now it's billions. Now we talk about trillions of dollars, and it's going to continue unless they change their policy, and that's what we're sensing, that there are hints that policy will change because the people's attitudes are getting sick and tired of it, just like they're sick and tired of the invasion at our borders, of people coming in and displacing American citizens, or having the American citizens who's trying to work and make a living be taxed for this. And that's where the real problem is. Reality will set in when people wake up and finally, but you have to have somebody talking about it. Like I said, nobody answers the question, well, you want to do all this, but where's the money? Where's the money? Show me the money.
Yeah.
We have $34 trillion of debt. You're right about that. But we think it could go to 68 without much trouble.
Yeah.
It always can go along much further than people claim.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm going to close out. And by thanking everyone for watching the show, I'm just looking at our numbers. We've got about 1,200 of you watching the show live, and that's a great number for us, and we appreciate it. But I only see 87 likes, so if you're watching right now and you do like it, let's knock that like button up to 1,200. That would be fantastic for the program in a way of helping us without costing you a dime and very, very little effort. So please do that if you can, and thanks for watching the show.
Well, I hope so, because I like the program. I think we're doing fine. We have to have our confidence. But, I've always blamed those who believed in liberty, good conservative constitutionalists, that it's partially our fault, because I don't think we do a good job, selling our product. When I think the product is so wonderful, personal liberty, you can do what you want as long as you don't hurt people. It creates more wealth than ever. You stay out of wars. All these things, we don't win, it should be automatic. Well, that makes a lot of sense. But the founders believed along that way the country would be better, the country they were talking about. And for many years, there's been a lot of benefits come from it. And that attitude is not totally dead. And there are still the people who believe in merits and conservative thinking and moral standings. And things go along pretty well. But I think people have to hear the story of why, the principles of liberty is a moral principle and is a practical principle, and that it works so well and it creates peace and prosperity. How can we go wrong? We need more messengers. And that is why we're delighted. We get more, almost on a daily basis now, more people watching. That means they are looking and thinking, what do we do? And that's a job and a half. And we're always looking for ways to do it. And that's why we persist, not only in trying to dissect what's in the news, but also to get people to understand different ways of reaching people. And I was always delighted and continue to be delighted that there were a lot of young people that came out for the presidential campaign, and they've started their own organization, and I find out they're doing some great work. So they got started with the campaigns back then, and I think that is just wonderful. But everybody has to be, involved in spreading this message. And in that area, I'm very optimistic, because I think there's a better understanding of what peace and prosperity is all about, what free market economy is about, what sound money is all about, than it was even 100 years ago. They knew generally, but I think the philosophic understanding of these issues much better than ever. And I think the grassroots, the people who are working in this area, our numbers are much greater than many people ever realized. Just like McConnell was surprised, half the people voted against me. Well, sorry about that, but that's the way it's going, and that's the way I think it'll continue to go if we have people out there spreading the message of liberty. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.